Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you remember the foot washing narrative or the foot washing event in the gospel when Jesus puts a towel around his waist, takes off his outer garments, and he washes the disciples' feet? You remember Peter? Remember what Peter said? He says, "You must never wash my feet." And Jesus says, unless I wash you, you shall have no share, no part in me. And do you remember what Peter then said? Well, not just my feet, but my head and my hands also. And Jesus says, you're already clean, and you only need your feet to be washed. The important thing is not how much washing you do, but who does the washing. All the washing in the world would be useless unless God does it. Now consider our gospel today from Mark 7. The Pharisees and the Jews from Jerusalem come to Jesus and they wash, not just their hands, but also their cups, their plates, their pots, their copper vessels, their dining couches. Monk on television would have no problem eating with them. Or Valeria's not here. Of course, she's at basic training, but you might have guess that she has to clean toilets as part of her basic training, you know. And I bet that if the drill sergeant that oversaw that process would probably see what they did and said, yep, that's good. But for soldiers, they got to do it again and again and again until it's right. Well, the way the Jews clean things, they probably said, that's good enough. But what was their problem? Their failure. They had clean hands. They had clean food and things that they used to eat with. What's wrong with that? Well, number one, all the washing in the world wouldn't be enough, would it? Because of the nature of sin and uncleanness, there's always a chance to say you missed a spot. In fact, you missed a lot of spots. And secondly, like Peter, they were adding to God's word, trying to do more than what God had said in washing. Is washing good? Yes, God did teach the people of old in the Old Testament to wash. The temple actually had a basin outside of it that the priests were to wash before going into the holy place, and especially into the Holy of Holies. You needed to be clean. You can't be dirty going back in there. Even today, I think, at the temple, although it's not the same, but nonetheless, they take off their shoes. They don't want to bring any dirty sand from the sinful world into the holy place, right, where people worship. However, there's a problem with the inner and the outer, isn't there? They're clean on the outside, but what does it say about their inside? You can wash the outside all you want, but the outside is merely to be a sign, if you will, of what we are like in the inside because of grace in Christ Jesus. Grace in believing, and through that believing, we are cleansed. They didn't seem to trust in that. They trusted in their washing, got to get clean. And if we show our cleanliness, then we are truly holy and blameless. But it gets worse. They were turning their man-made traditions into doctrines. God would have us clean and wash like this, and you must do the same. You should clean too. In fact, it gets worse. They were comparing their righteousness, their cleanliness, and their obedience to man-made traditions and questioning the disciples of Jesus, whom Jesus chose to dwell with. How come you all don't wash like we wash, like the elders wash? And Jesus responds by calling them what? Hypocrites. The outside may be clean, but what's wrong with the inside? Jesus knows. Their hearts are not clean. And if they would receive Jesus, they would have the cleanliness that all their washing cannot accomplish. From all this, of course, we learn several things. We learn to stick to the commandments alone as doctrine. It's very clear from the text. Stick to the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments. He didn't give us 10,000 commandments. He gave us 10 commandments. Stick to the commandments. Stick to what God had said. Don't add to the commandments. Don't add to God's word. It's always an error. It's always a problem, even from the very beginning, trying to add to God's word. Don't just wash my feet. Wash my head and my hands also. No, no, it's enough. I wash your feet. That's enough. You're already clean because of the word that I've spoken, Jesus says. You only need to wash your feet now. We're trying to add. God said, don't touch the fruit. Don't touch the... Well, no, God didn't say don't touch it. He said, don't eat the fruit. But one of the first errors that Eve even says is, yeah, he said, we're not to touch it unless we die. Wait a minute. God's word didn't say don't touch it. He said, don't eat of it. Adding to God's word, that's a problem. Wash, 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 wash. You got to wash this. You're going to walk in the traditions of God and the elders. You got to wash. Now you're adding to God's word. You do wash, but it's a sign of the inner cleanliness that we have by being in the presence and the graciousness of God. We are to regard the traditions of man in the light of charity, in the spirit of freedom, not in comparison of righteousness to one man to the next. Oh, you follow that tradition. Oh, you were in church for 4 hours and you bowed and scraped 50,000 times. You must be really holy. Traditions are traditions of men, not traditions of God. Stick to the commandments. Stick to God's word. Let all your love and all your traditions be done out of love and seen in the light of charity, grace, and love. Secondly, outward traditions should be reflections of the inner life of a clean conscience before God. What we do as traditions of man, A, should be recognized as traditions of men, not God's word, but our traditions. And secondly, this should be done in a matter of love and grace and freedom. Love for God's word. That's why we do a lot of the traditions we do, because we love God's word. Not because we have to, but because God would have us do the things that please Him, that He's revealed. And we say, well, what can please God? And a renewed heart says, I want to please God. I want to do these things. Not because I have to, but because God has freed me to show love for His word. And also love for man, whom God loves. Doing the things that we do, traditions that we do for the sake of others, that others may know God's word and hear and believe and rejoice in the forgiveness of sins and the life everlasting, the things that we do for our fellow men here at church and the things we do in the world and our vocations, our jobs, the things that we do in the traditions that we have there should be done out of love for our fellow neighbor. Love for man. Love for others whom God loves. Thirdly, we learn the good news. You don't have to wash yourself to be clean. You'd be at it all day long if you did. And still, by God's standard of cleanliness, you missed a spot, and another spot, and another spot, and lots of spots. You cannot have the cleanliness that God's word and standard and holiness desires and can only be. Because God is who He is, God. If that's how God saved, you'd all be in trouble. And so would I. And the really good news, God has provided a bath to make you and I clean. Baptism. Water with the power of God's word cleanses us from every sin and every stain. Baptism saves us, cleanses us, makes us clean to stand in the presence of God. You can wash all you want, but unless God washes you, you have no part and no share in Him. Be baptized. Receive the baptism. Return to your baptism and believe and rejoice that you are clean. Now that you've been cleaned completely, know that Jesus comes and washes your feet. That's what we do here on Sundays when we have absolution and the divine service. That's kind of like a washing of our feet. We've been baptized, but we're still a part of a sinful world, and I still have a sin nature, and I still go about neighbors and people with unclean lips, and I sin. So I come back here just like you do and receive the same gift of absolution. The forgiveness of sins is kind of like the washing of our feet. We're already clean because of baptism. But we travel through this sinful world, and Jesus washes our feet again and again and again and gives us the Lord's Supper to forgive us our sins in the inside, so that our insides are clean too, so we can stand before the presence of God in the marriage feast of the Lamb, stand there on holy ground with our bare feet if we want, and we'll be clean. together with all the saints, clean robes that were sin-stained are washed in the blood of the Lamb and become clean. Praise be to God. Lastly, if your whole body is clean due to baptism, and your feet are cleaned by Jesus through his word and works and the divine service, then realize that your head and your hands are clean too. Then, go ahead with Jesus and his disciples and eat with defiled hands. That's right, eat with unwashed hands. It may not be very sanitary. Your detective friend, the monk, may disown you. Pharisaical friends may disown you as well. But smile. You've got a friend in Jesus. Final question. If Jesus came to your house tonight for dinner, would you make him wash his hands before you ate? Would you? Or would you just turn and say, "Oh Lord, thank you for having washed me." Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.